verse 14 and 15. Now you may remain seated as we read this portion of Scripture this morning. But if you would, follow along with me. Psalms 91, verses 14 and verse 15. Because he has set his love, or because he has forced or focused his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Where is your focus in life? Where do you focus? Or what do you focus on? And I want you to think about that today. This morning in our assembly, our deacon of the week led, or Brother Hugh led us this morning in a devotion, speaking of focusing on Christ and what happens when we take our eyes off of Christ. He spoke of Peter, and we all know what happened to Peter when he was walking across the sea, the ocean. He was there. He was walking across as long as he was looking at whom? Jesus. And as soon as he began to take his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. That is what happens to you and me. This was not a metaphor. This was not a simile of what happened in Peter's life. It happened. It truly took place because he didn't focus on Jesus. He began to sink. And when we don't focus on Jesus, we begin to sink. Our plans around us begin to sink. So what do you focus on? What is the main thing that you focus on day in and day out, week by week, month by month, year after year? There really is absolutely in my life, and most likely in your life, that we can ever find a way while living here on earth to avoid or to escape the universal condition of mankind, the universal condition of our fleshly desires. No matter how hard you stay focused, you're going to find yourself somehow, some way, caught up in an ordeal in your life. No matter what you're doing, it may be the smallest of things that you're having to deal with, or it may be one of the smallest of things that one of your friends are having to deal with, but you're going to always find yourselves caught up in some type of fleshly ordeal, the universal problems of mankind. And the universal problems of mankind is sin. We bring sin upon ourselves. We know that we are not righteous. We've been made righteous, but we do sin. You're going to continue to sin. Even as a born-again believer in Christ, you will continue to sin. But what you choose to do with that sin is what will dictate how your life will go. And so if you do not focus on Christ, or if you do not give your sins to Christ, and if you do not repent to Him daily, you're going to be unfocused. Your focus is going to be zeroed in on something else that is very damning to your life, that will cause you to wander away from. And so we are going to study today two men who realize the importance of focusing on God and how you and I should be compelled to keep our eyes focused on God, because you're going to continually face adversities every single day. You're going to continue to face the adversary every single day. You can do everything that you know is right in the power of God, but the devil, he's going to continually throw things up in front of you. He's going to maybe try to remind you of past sins and past failures so that you dwell on those things. And when you begin to dwell on past sins and past failures, are you focused on Christ? No, you're not. Maybe little things are happening within your life right now that's causing you to not focus on Christ. And so when you begin to not focus on what God has mapped out for you, because remember, none of us matters in your salvation. None of us matters. The things that you and I do one for another does not matter. We are in control of, we are responsible for ourselves. You know, as a father, it's easy to use my children as examples. And both of my boys do pretty good in school as far as their behavior. The typical things that you can get in trouble for, nothing over the top. But when Robert Michael was younger, he would always say, "But Daddy, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that." And my rebuttal to him was always this: "So-and-so is not my child." I'm not responsible for so-and-so. I'm responsible for teaching you. I'm responsible for raising you and showing you the right way to live. And then in return, initially, who is really responsible for self? We are. It doesn't matter what the crowd's doing. It doesn't matter what your friends are doing. It doesn't matter what your family's doing. You are in control. It's your responsibility to make sure that your focus is always on God. So if you would, turn to Genesis 28. We're going to look at verses 10 through 17. A very fascinating story that we're going to read. We're not going to go into great detail on it today, but we're going to talk about the importance of the main theme of these verses. And oftentimes I think it might be a little story in the Old Testament that often gets overlooked. This is a very important event in Jacob's life. So follow along with me in your Bible, or you can read the screen up above. It says, "Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you.' Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.' And he was afraid and said," now look what he says here, and notice the punctuation to follow, "'how awesome is this place.'" Not a period, not a question mark, not just saying, "How awesome is this place?" Or if the question mark was there, "How awesome is this place?" It's a bold exclamation. "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." We see here that God has spoken to Jacob through this dream, and he has given him through this dream a promise. A believing promise. And he needed Jacob to believe in his promise. And I imagine that through this dream, Jacob was able to remain focused. How many of you have dreams? How many of you are able to recount them the next morning? Sometimes, some maybe not. Well, this was a spiritually led dream. This is a means of communication from God that he laid upon Jacob's heart as he slept, reminding, now his head is laying on a rock. Couldn't have been the most comfortable night of sleep. I really don't know how he even fell asleep in the first place to even have the opportunity to dream. But here Jacob is lying down, his head upon a rock. The Lord gives him this dream. He gives him this vision. And through this dream, Jacob sees the importance of what he must do in order to receive the blessing of God. He must be focused. He must remain focused on God throughout his life. This was actually one of the first, this is the first of two meetings of God and Jacob. We will not study the other, but God had realized that through this dream, or through the revealing of this dream to Jacob, that he would be able to experience a wonderful way of direct communication with God. I love how Jacob says here, or through this book rather, that the ladder was extended from heaven to earth, and Jacob was able to see these angels transcending, going from top to bottom, meaning they were traveling from heaven. They were traveling down to earth and back and forth and back and forth. In a sense, through this dream or through the use of this ladder, what do you think, have you ever studied this before, what do you think those angels represents? The traveling from heaven back down to earth and back to heaven again. To me, from a metaphorical standpoint, it reminds me of the means of communication with God. How you and I can communicate with God. How when we pray, we are able to hear the words of our Father from whom is in heaven, and He answers our prayers while we're here on earth, and He sends angels down to protect us, to encamp around us, to be there for us. And to me, this is what this ladder is a representation of, that God wants to always have a direct means of communication to you. No matter where you are, whether you be lying down taking a nap, or whether you be in a deep sleep, or whether you're driving down the road and you're communicating with Him, or whether you're in a quiet place in your home communicating with Him, that's all that He asks of you, is that you give Him an opportunity to have direct communication with Him. But if you're not focused on God, you'll never have that opportunity to communicate. Have you ever really given it much thought within your own spiritual life that God deeply has a desire, a yearning to speak with you, to communicate with you? Don't you know how He longs for when you wake up each morning for you to have His praise upon your lips? Don't you know that He cannot wait to hear you praise Him in the morning, to give thanks over your meal, or just to tell Him thank you for blessing you in your life? Don't you know how that makes Him feel? How does it make you feel when someone pats you on the back or tells you thank you for doing what you do? It makes you feel good. And it can keep you on that path of knowing that what you're doing is here to serve others. But more important than serving others, your goal is to serve God. And you serve others by serving God. You serve God by serving others. But unfortunately, as Miss Susan alluded to in our children's sermon, we sometimes find ourselves snoozing on God, hitting that button. And if you're snoozing on God, to me, I don't think you're very focused on what God wants you to do, whether it's giving to the needy or whether it's serving Him in some other capacity. So many times in our lives, we are not focused. We're snoozing. And we're kind of maybe just coasting through, or just going through the motions of. And when we do that, we begin to lose focus, we begin to lose faith, and we're not serving Him as He has asked us to do. I think that as the Lord stood above the ladder and He began to proclaim to Jacob, He was beginning to utter a very important promise, a very important promise, an infinite promise. And don't you imagine that as Jacob was able to understand this dream, he realized that as Jesus Himself stood there and made that infinite promise to him, that kept Jacob focused on what he needed to do. He made a very awesome promise to Jacob that He was going to allow him to enjoy the land. He was going to bless his predecessors if he remained faithful and focused. If you were able to hear the voice of God say to you, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, how might you respond? How wonderful would it be to hear that audible voice from God to say to you that I am with you? Now, many of us, I have never heard Him say that to me directly. But how many of you have studied His Word or have been in communication to Him in prayer and you felt the presence of God Almighty and you felt Him revealing Himself to you through His Word? And in essence, that's what He's saying. He's saying to you, church, I am with you and I will keep you wherever you go. How will you respond to this? How would it make you feel? Would you be scared? Would you be petrified? Or would you be afraid as Jacob was afraid? But not afraid as in trembling because you're scared that you've been found unfaithful, but that you're afraid out of the reverence of God Almighty and that He has called down upon you to be a faithful servant of His. Would these words bring you comfort? And here's a question that I want to ask you that we don't often want to think about, but would you be able to recognize the voice of God? Would you truly know that this is God Almighty speaking to you, trying to direct you, trying to get you to focus on what matters most? Perhaps you are too focused on everything else in your life, and I know that we do get caught up in the busyness of life. And once again, it's something that we most of the time, 9 times out of 10, bring it upon ourselves because we become so focused on everything else but Christ. And when we do this, we're probably not going to hear the voice of God because there's too much outside clutter. There's too many outside distractions. If you would, turn to Psalm 121. You can hold your place there in Genesis because we will be going back later. But turn to Psalm 121. Here in Psalm 121, we see the importance of the benefits of why we must seek God. and why we are to remain focused on God no matter what you do, no matter how hard life is. And even when life is going smoothly, you must remain focused on God. Because He wants you to always recognize where your blessings comes from. He wants you to always recognize where His goodness comes from. He wants you to recognize, as we're getting ready to read, where the help comes from. So look with me, Psalms 121. It says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in for this time forth and even forevermore. What an important word to end that psalm. He will preserve you today. He will preserve you tomorrow. He will preserve you next week and next month, but it says forevermore. From the day in which you call upon God to be your preservation, He will preserve you forever and ever. Not just when you draw your last breath here on earth, but He will preserve you for life eternal. But remember where your help comes from. It comes from your Maker. It comes from your Creator, the Sustainer of life. Your helper comes from the hills. And it says, this is where I look up. The man, Lord God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth. So we must always remain focused. We must always remember that we must look up. That we must keep our eyes upon God. And just as we have already alluded to with Peter this morning, he had to keep his eyes up on Jesus as he walked across that water. He could never look down. He could never look to his right or to his left because the waves of life were crashing around him. You can never look to your left and your right. You must stay focused on God because the waves of life are always going to crash down around you. No matter how faithful you live, no matter how strong your faith is, the waves of life are always going to crash down around you. How do you respond? You look down, you're going to sink. You must remain focused. You must look upon Him. But once again, just as Jesus Christ is, and just as God has always set His plan to be, He always has an escape route. He always has a plan to save you through His grace and through His love and through His mercy. And so He reached His hand down as Peter began to sink, and He raised Peter right up. Peter reached out and he grabbed his hand. The same thing for you and the same thing for me. If we are willing to keep our eyes focused, we don't have to worry about reaching up to God because we've already strayed away from. He's there with you holding your hand, side by side. And we must understand that and believe that with all of our heart. If you would turn now to Genesis 37, verses 5 through 11. Story of Joseph. This is our second man who realized that he had to remain focused on God. Now think about the life of Joseph. You know, his biggest calamity was that his family, what? They hated him. That'd be tough to deal with, wouldn't it? I imagine all of us in here today have had issues where we've bumped heads with our family members. You may be sitting here today and there may be family members here in your life that you don't have a relationship with anymore. And here we see here with Joseph. So you really, in a sense, can empathize with how Joseph felt. And here's what Joseph's problem was. He had been given a vision. A dream had been revealed to Joseph. And so he shared that dream, that vision, and it made his family hate him all the more. So let's look at verses 5 through 11. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream, and he told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to you on earth?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Of course, if we were to continue to study the remainder of this story, Joseph's dream, Joseph's vision, what happened? It came to fruition. They needed Joseph. But now, had Joseph not remained faithful, had Joseph not remained focused on God, even when he realizes, oh, I've shared this dream with my family, it's caused them to spurn against me, it's caused them to hate me. Well, God, look what you've done to me. I've lost my brothers, I've lost my mom and my dad, and we know that he literally loses them for some time, because what do they do to him? They sell him off to be a slave. He was given these two dreams, but they were very important dreams. They were about God's plans for his life, and they revealed to him the importance of being focused on God, and he saw that he had to remain focused because it saved his family. It saved the people from a dry and weary land. Something that's important for you and me to understand and always remember as we study through the Old Testament, that the Holy Spirit had not fallen down amongst these people. And so it was much easier. This was God's way of communicating through dream and through vision. And so this is something we must not take lightly. God chose Joseph for a reason. God chose Jacob for a reason, because he knew they would be faithful. And we can go on through the Old Testament and pick out many other men who were faithful to God's word, and they remained focused. But can't you imagine how Joseph's brothers really felt? You know, he'd already received the coat of many colors. But can you imagine how his family felt? Here is Joseph, our youngest sibling, sharing this dream that we're going to one day bow down to him. And this is supposedly, the brother's words, supposedly divine intervention from God. Of course they laughed at him. Of course it made them angry, because they weren't focused on God. They were focused on hate. They were focused on the words that were coming out of their brother's mouths, words in which they did not want to hear. But the one thing that we can be thankful for through Joseph, that he did not stray from his vision. He kept his eyes focused on God. Even though his brothers sold him off to the Ishmaelites, he never hated his brothers. He never hated his mom. He never hated his dad. He knew that God had a purpose and that God was going to send. Because see, initially, you know, the brothers wanted to kill him. They didn't want to just send him off into slavery. One of the brothers wanted to get rid of him altogether. But God wouldn't let that happen. He had a special plan for him, and he knew that Joseph would remain faithful. Dreams and visions were the main way that God always revealed his plan or his will for other followers. And so here we see the very same thing for Joseph as we studied in Jacob's dream as well. But there's three things for you and I that we can use in modern day, that you and I can have. We don't, not necessarily through the dream and through the vision. And I'm not saying that God can't speak to you through one of your dreams or give you a vision, but something that God can give us then when we're fully awake and coherent to what's going on is simply this. He has given us his word, as we have read together today. He has given us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then also, as we mentioned through Jacob's dream, the ascending and the descending of the angels through the communication with God, he gives us the means to pray. These are three things that we can use everywhere we go, no matter where you're sitting, no matter what you're doing. You have the ability to call upon God's word. You have the ability to be led by the Holy Spirit, and you have the ability to reach out to him, to pray to him. Comprehension of the necessary tools for you and for me is that we will be able to remain focused on God and what he has mapped out for you and what he has mapped out for our entire lives as we live here on this earth. As leaders of your household, as leaders of your church, as leaders of your community, it is important that you remain focused on God, because if you lose your focus, how will you influence those who are around you? And when I say influence, of course, I mean influence them with a Christ-like attitude. Influence them with the leadership and the guidance of the Spirit, and not the dominion or the mindset of the flesh. We know that Joseph followed his father's example of faith, and he believed the message. God knew that Joseph was going to need a promise to get him through the difficulty that would soon follow. So God gave him the promise. The Lord's word to him was an anchor. And I hope that when you study God's word, that you allow his word to be an anchor within your life. That's what holds you fast, steadfast. That's what allows you to see the importance of being here this morning and worshiping and remaining focused on Him. Throughout all of your trials of life, just as Joseph had those many trials, can you imagine what that would have been like? Even though he knew that God was going to take care of him, he was being ripped from his family. He was being sent to a foreign land, a place where he knew no one. But yet God provided. God's hand was upon Joseph all throughout his life. And of course we know that Joseph went on to serve God in a wonderful and mighty capacity. So instead of dwelling on circumstances of life, we see here that Joseph chose to focus on the Lord's faithfulness. So for you sitting here today, instead of dwelling on the circumstances of life, just focus on God. Instead of pulling out all the negative that's going on in your life, focus on God. Because when you focus on all the negative that is around you, number one, it's stealing your joy from whatever it is that you do in the name of God. And not only does it steal your joy, but it will probably, most likely, hinder you from doing the things that you enjoy doing for the Lord. And that's what you can't have happen. Satan wants that to happen. But God does not. He wants you to always remain focused on Him. If you remain focused on God, will you ever see any negative? You will never find any negative light shining from God. You will never find anything negative to fall down upon you in your life if you are striving to serve Him daily. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments." Psalms 36:5 says, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds." And listen to Romans 3:3. "For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God?" Romans 3:3. Go back and read that and study that through the course of this week. Let that be a reminder to you of why you must remain focused and why you must remain faithful. I love how that ends, that last question of Romans 3:3. It says, "Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God?" Think about that for a moment. No matter how faithful or faithless you are, it does not affect the outcome of God. So we don't need to have the mindset of such. We need to understand and know that when we are faithful to God, He will bless us. But when we are not faithful to God, He will not bless us. But in the downside of that, though, God's not receiving the glory, and He's not receiving the blessings that He so rightfully deserves. But understand and know that what we choose to do is not going to affect God eternally. But what you choose to do, whether you choose to remain focused, can affect your outcome eternally. That's something you must think about. That's something you must also understand and know, that when you lose your focus on Christ, you're not serving Him in the way that He needs you to. When the Lord speaks to our hearts through Scripture or through the communication of prayer, we can always hold on to what He says, because His words is the very anchor for your soul. He will always keep His promise, just as He did for Jacob and Joseph thousands of years ago. He still keeps His promise to you and me today in the year 2018. When we focus on God and His word, it will enable us to do things that will bring honor and glory to His name. I think when you focus on God, you will see that your fears will dwindle, your anxieties, your nervousness will go away. That unwanted feeling will go away. The negative aspects of your life will go away, because you are going to be filled with God Almighty. And He is so positive. He is all powerful. And He wants to lead you to a path of righteousness. If we keep our eyes on the cross daily, we will see our uncertainties pass us by. And it may not happen initially. It may not immediately go by or go away. But you've got to remain focused. Just because God doesn't answer your prayer immediately doesn't mean that you should give up hope. Doesn't mean that you should throw your hands up and not focus on Him any longer, saying, oh, well, I tried that for a brief moment. I'm done. It doesn't work that way. God wants you to remain focused on Him through all of the good times and through all of the bad. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or when you're resting up high on the mountaintop, God wants you to always remain focused on Him. He will break away the chains of life, the sins of life. He will set your captive spirit free. But if you do not choose to focus on Him, He cannot help you. He cannot lend you that helping hand, that guiding of the sweet, loving Holy Spirit. So as the question today was posed at the very beginning through this title of this message today, I just ask you this, and I want you to think about this as you leave out of here today. What do you focus on? Let us pray. God, we do thank You for this day, Lord, and I thank You for this opportunity to be in Your house of worship today, Lord. And I thank You for being here within us today, Lord, being here within this beautiful sanctuary in which You've blessed us with, God. And I pray today, if there be one here, Lord, who has not taken the time to completely focus their life on You, Lord, I pray that today would be the day in which they do so. God, we love You and we praise You, and we just ask You to forgive us, God, where we fail You. In Your name I do pray. Amen.